Welcome everyone to the Truth About Cancer's Global Health News. I'm Ty Bollinger and my lovely wife Charlene. We're with you again today.
Hello, hello, and welcome back.
Yeah, we're excited to bring with you some more stories that are breaking news, a lot of them, some of them not quite so breaking, but all of them interesting news that we can kind of bring to your attention, some of the things that are happening today in the global health arena. And
yes,
go ahead, Tree.
Things that you need to know. We're here to inform you so that you can inform your friends and family.
Yeah, so the first article that I wanted to cover is entitled, this is from the American Technion Society, Advancing Innovation for Israel and the World. The title of the article is Tiny Barcodes Provide a Huge Advance in Personalized Cancer Therapy. Now, this is interesting. I did a radio interview about this very article here. There's a professor, Avi Schroeder, that has developed some kind of a technology with barcoded nanotechnology that they actually insert barcoded nanotechnology into your body that seeks out cancer cells and determines what types of chemotherapy, specifically cisplatin and doxorubicin are the two chemotherapies that they're using right now to fight breast cancer. And these barcoded nanotechnology strands actually seek out cancer cells and then will let the researchers know what type of chemotherapy your body is most apt to react to in a positive manner.
We used minuscule amounts of anti-cancer medicines, we loaded them into nanoparticles, and then had them injected into the blood and target the tumor site. Inside the tumor, these nanoparticles actually reach the different cells of the tumor and dispatch their medicines. And our technology kicks in here. We can actually identify which medicine worked inside the patient's cells and which did not work. But we're using very, very low doses, meaning it's not a treatment, it's actually a diagnostic.
At face value, it sounds like we're going in the right direction, right? We're trying to find more targeted approaches. The problem with this is still the fact that we're treating symptoms versus causes.
And in reading this article, they are using the nanotechnology to track the progress of this medicine within the tumor. They then biopsy the tumor for each new medicine they're testing with this nanotechnology. So one biopsy is not good because they're cutting into the tumor, potentially spreading the cancer throughout the body. So if you're doing biopsy after biopsy, what is that going to do to the cancer and the tumor, Ty?
Right. Well, we know that biopsies will seed or spread cancer. So that's one big problem with this technology is they're still doing biopsies. And the other big problem really is treating symptoms versus causes. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing to use less chemo rather than more. It's a good thing to find a chemo that maybe is more targeted and your body reacts to rather than some general that you're not sure about. Those are good things. But the problem is at the end of the day, you still have a cancer patient that's sick and you still have a cancer patient that has developed cancer because something's wrong in the body. And whether we use this nanotechnology, which kind of seems like the mark of the beast or something like that, it's kind of weird to me.
Yeah, I don't think I would want that tracking in my body.
I just don't like that.
Somebody else watching me.
Yeah. I don't like that. Charlene doesn't like that. That just kind of goes against the way our grain, I guess you could say. But regardless of that, you know, at the end of the day, you've still got a sick body, and it's not going to be healed. You can't heal a sick body with chemicals. And so the guy that interviewed me for this radio show, Ed Saul, he also interviewed Dr. Schroeder. This is a good guy. He's a great guy. He's really trying. He thinks that this is going to really help with cancer treatments. He's got good intentions, but the problem is we're still treating symptoms instead of causes. So at the end of the day, you still have a cancer patient with a sick body that's being treated with maybe less toxic chemo or smaller doses of chemo, but the tumor is just a symptom that something's wrong in the body. And we've got to start focusing on the root cause of disease instead of treating symptoms like tumors.
I just think about this with the tumor. When you think about your tumor, the tumor is a miraculous mechanism that actually contains the cancer cells and keeps them from spreading throughout the body. When you cut into the tumor, then you're spreading those cancer cells around the body. And so it's not the tumor that the problem is within the body. It's the terrain of the body that allowed that to grow.
Yeah.
So we need to figure out what caused it and address that. And if you do, the tumor will be dealt with. That's one of the symptoms.
Yeah, that's a good point, honey. The good thing is now that you're not going to be, if you don't use this new type of technology, this barcoded nanotechnology, they're not going to detain you. But there is an executive order that's been passed recently by President Obama that does open the door for detaining people if they refuse vaccines.
Now, the interesting thing is this happened November 4th. And if you remember during that time, November 4th was a time where everybody was up in arms, the Hillary camp and the Trump camp, and then there's the third party candidates and everybody's fighting and everybody's excited. And while all this is going on and everybody's distracted, this gets signed as an executive order. And what exactly is this?
Yeah, this, and as Charlene was just saying, the election was right around the corner. This is the weekend before the election. It always happens on a Friday, right? Before the news cycle for the weekend. So he signed an executive order that basically allows the government to detain people if they refuse vaccines in the case of a national or a global emergency or pandemic. The name of the executive order was Advancing the Global Health Security Agenda to Achieve a World Safe and Secure from Infectious Disease Threats.
Sounds wonderful.
Wow, it sounds really great. All right.
But how wonderful really is it?
Well, that's the problem. This proposal focused mostly on its vaccine package. It rested comfortably on the nationally orchestrated outcry against vaccination resistance. There is a big outcry against people that dare to question vaccines, which are the holy grail of the Church of Pharmaceutical Mysticism, according to Robert Scott Bell, and I agree with him. John Rappaport also refers to him that way. Some journalists in the prelude to this executive order even suggested jailing parents that didn't vaccinate their kids.
Can you imagine that, going to jail because you decide what's best for the health of your child? Who is in authority, really, to tell us what to do with our children? Mm-hmm. And just as this debate was becoming heated and the parents that are proponents for the child's health that understand what's in the vaccines and the damaging effects they could have, they got a little bit louder with their celebrity superstars and political superstars. And so we heard from Bernie before the presidential run that basically paraphrased this, that parents that don't vaccinate their children could potentially be killers. Mm-hmm. Those little children that are not vaccinated could be killers. Although we have done the research, we know a lot of you have too, and with the vaccinations, the children that have been vaccinated, we see these outbreaks, mini outbreaks, three people that come out with the measles, for example, or a low number. These children were, or whooping cough, those children were vaccinated. So they're getting louder about how vaccinations are important, and if you do not vaccinate, so with Hillary Clinton, what?
Hillary said, the science is clear, the earth is round, the sky is blue, and vaccines work. Let's all protect our kids.
Let's protect our kids, right, Hillary? Mm-hmm. So people were listening to her. She had a platform. And of course, the big pharma cartel out there, they are funding her, and she is a voice for them.
Yeah.
And so we need to be aware and look behind the scenes. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and the thing is that the science is never clear, right? Science is never settled. At one time, science was clear that the earth was flat. That was the perspective that was held by all of the luminaries in the world that day, is the earth was flat. Well, now we know they were wrong. So science is never all that clear. It's never settled. It should always be debated. And the problem that we have with vaccinations is that they're not open for debate. You either vaccinate or you're a conspiracy theorist and your children are murdering other children.
Because what they'll say, they've hijacked the terms. Ty's really good about teaching us that they are taking our terms and they're hijacking them and changing the language. They're now calling us science deniers. Well, let me tell you this. The truth about vaccines is coming out in April. And we're going to talk about this stuff in depth. And the science is definitely on the side. The fact that vaccines are poison and they're destroying health, bodies, and even taking lives. And on the other side of the coin, there's really no scientific proof at all that vaccines are effective and that they work. Is that right?
Well, it depends on what you just mentioned. Co-opting the language, the terms. Well, yeah, there is evidence that vaccines are effective. Vaccines are effective, but effective at what? And that's the problem. When they say that vaccines are safe and effective, what effective means, and according to the vaccine proponents, is that they create an antibody response. So they are very effective at creating an antibody response. So then the next question is, what does an antibody response result in? And the reality is that even most vaccine proponents will now admit that just because you create an antibody response doesn't necessarily mean that you're protected from that particular disease. So there's the disconnect. Are they effective? Yeah, they're effective at creating an antibody response. That's what they have chosen to define effectiveness as.
But when you hear they are effective, naturally you're thinking what we all want to believe, that they're going to eradicate these diseases. And we think, oh, it's going to boost the immune system. We're gonna have super health. That's exactly the opposite of what that means.
That, yeah, it's a good point. Again, if you change the meaning of words, you can win an argument. And even if you should lose the argument. And that's really what's happened here with vaccines. And we've seen it happen with alternative medicine, for instance, right? We've talked about how traditional medicine is really not traditional and alternative medicine is really not alternative, but they've co-opted the language. They've done that with vaccines being effective. Now, here's what's interesting. We just talked about Senator Pan, and he was the one that was responsible for Senate Bill 277 in California. He just introduced a few weeks ago, 1st of December 2016, a California-wide bill called the Children's Bill of Rights, which would basically allow children to supersede the parents' wishes and the children to be vaccinated if they wanted to, even if the parents didn't. So this is really a slippery slope because, of course, the children are going to be indoctrinated in school, that vaccines are the only way that they're going to be able to stay alive against these pandemics that are coming. They're going to scare the living daylights out of these kids. And then they're going to say, do you want the vaccine? And of course, the kids are going to, they're very easily manipulated. They'll say, of course we want the vaccine, even if the parents don't want them to be
vaccinated.
And the
parents, the danger, another danger within this is the parents say no. And so the state, because of this, if this would pass, would be able to come in and kidnap that child and take it as a ward of the state and force vaccinate that child and break up the home while doing so. This is an assault to our God-given rights as parents and as families. What does a five-year-old know compared to the parent? And how can the state possibly love the child like that parent, that the mother that carried that child for 9 months and that gave birth to that child and the mother and father that provide for that child and anguish over any pain that is caused to that child?
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
There is no one that cares for that child like those parents. Those parents are the rightful guardians over the health of this child. Yeah. No.
It is criminal. In one instance, an article I wanted to cover here, that we've seen the really, really sad effects of these vaccines is with the Gardasil vaccine. There's so many young women have been damaged, permanently damaged. There's an article here about a young lady named Savannah Snyder. She was interviewed by Polly Tommy with the Vaxxed Crew. And Savannah was at school. She got the Gardasil vaccine. And it says before the Gardasil shot, she was very active and athletic. She was in the process of joining a gym. Now she has difficulty speaking and walking and needs a feeding tube.
So did you know she was about to have the Gardasil vaccine?
No, I told them not to because my mom had warned me about the Gardasil and I told them I wanted to wait because I wanted to do further research first before getting the Gardasil administered because they kept pushing it.
This is one of thousands of cases of young ladies that have been vaccinated with the Gardasil vaccine that end up just non-functional because of this vaccine. And this is one of the vaccines that kids would have an option to take against the parents' wishes if they scare them enough in the schools of California into taking it. And as we know, we've seen in the past, what happens in California tends to trickle throughout the rest of the country. So that's the real potential threat.
And one thing they've done with the Gardasil, the science, the facts, the research, shows that it's very damaging to the health and destroying young women's ovaries, their fertility, causing seizures, all kinds of debilitating things in these bodies of these young ladies. Ty has interviewed a lot of people regarding this specific thing, and we have a lot of footage that we're going to show you. But one of the things that they're doing with the Gardasil with these young girls that are being affected adversely and terribly is saying it's all in your head. You're just crazy. And who wants to be crazy? So they're attempting to silence the truth that the Gardasil vaccine is really damaging and even killing people. Mm. It's devastating, but they'll just turn around and say you're crazy. So that they want to shrink in the shadows because they don't want to be in the limelight as being crazy. But there are with the VAXXed team, Polly, Dell, Bigtree, Andy Wakefield. They're going out there. They're actually interviewing people that had been damaged, and there is proof that they have been damaged. Yeah. And so the truth is coming out, and the truth about vaccines, I can't stress enough. You wait and you watch that and you share it with your friends April next year.
Yeah, and as Charlene just mentioned, one of the things that they're saying is that it's just all psychosomatic. It's all in your head. They did that with a village of 700 young women down in Columbia, South Carolina, I was about to say, South America. And in this village, there were literally, I think it was 700 women, young women that were damaged. And they told all of them, it's all in your head. There were little girls that committed suicide because no one believed them, that they were really hurt, that they were damaged. And it's just not just an escape. It's criminal to blame it on the girls that are damaged. As human beings, we should say, oh, let's figure out what happened so we can help you. But no, we can't question vaccines. So by definition, you must be making it up. And you blame the girls, and the girls, some of them have committed suicide. It's criminal.
It's tragic, and this has just got to stop.
Yeah. But we just mentioned Polly, Tommy, and the VAXX crew. One of the things that was really cool for us just this last week in Nashville here, we were able to give Lifetime Achievement Awards to several people at our annual event.
Let me just preface it. I want to tell you a little bit about our vision with this amazing event. Last year was our first annual Black Tie Charity/Awards Gala. And our vision was, you think about celebrities out there, and we want to, so many people want to watch The Kardashians, and I've actually never seen that show, but I've heard a lot about it. And
oh, it's a great show.
Have you seen it?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay, I was surprised because I know we have not watched it. But there's a lot of celebrities out there. We tend to not look up to celebrities. The people that we look up to and talk about and get excited about are people that are out there saving lives. So our idea was last year to actually get dressed up. The guys would wear tuxedos and the ladies gowns. And I had a hair team, a makeup team come in to pamper these beautiful women, to remind them that they are beautiful in their spirits. And we're just going to bring that out, and we're going to celebrate life. So we have charities that we support that really are helping you all out there with encouragement, with treatments, with natural protocols, all kinds of wonderful things. And also doctors and researchers, we get to give Lifetime Achievement Awards to for saving lives and for doing great work for humanity. And so our vision was, you know what, we're going to roll out the red carpet. We're not big red carpet celebrity kind of people, but let me tell you, we will roll out a red carpet and celebrate and get beautiful pictures of these heroes. They are the Avengers, I like to call them. So this is our second gala. It went just tremendously well, and we got to give Lifetime Achievement Awards and also giving to those charities. So the Lifetime Achievement Awards, the first one we gave to was Sherry Cabone.
Yeah, we gave Lifetime Achievement Awards to Sherry Cabone for the Juice Lady, right? Antonio and Marcy Jimenez for being pioneers in natural cancer treatments.
Hope for Cancer Clinic
in Tijuana. Dr. Patrick Quillen, who is a nutritional expert.
You all remember Ty tasting from his garden during the series. And he just made you want to jump through the TV or the computer screen and eat it. Ty's.
It was awesome.
He loved it. He came back with stories.
Patrick is actually the head of nutrition for the Cancer Center Treatments of America for about a decade. And then Jeffrey Smith for his awareness and his bringing to light a lot of the dangers with genetically modified organisms.
You all know him. And
yeah, everyone knows
he's
Jeffrey.
He's great. And Ty's now on the board.
Yeah, Jeffrey asked me to be on the board of the Institute for Responsible Technology.
So we're excited about that, to be able to join up with him, because he's a great man doing great things.
It's an honor. And then Dell Bigtree, Polly Tommy, and Andy Wakefield received an award for lifetime achievement with vaccine awareness. And so that was really a blessing to be able to just honor these five groups of people. Because we had Antonio and Marcy came up for their award, and we had Andy was not able to make it, but Dell and Polly were there representing the VAXX group.
Yeah, Dell and Polly, they spoke, and they're just so inspirational. They have so many stories, and Dell has just such a passionate heart, and Polly does too for these vaccine injured. She's got a son that's 20 years old, and he's not functioning like an average adult would function because he was vaccine damaged and has severe autism.
Yeah, and so I think one of the things that we've just really enjoyed with the last couple of years, getting to get all of these people together, right? All of these people from different realms in the health world together, giving Lifetime Achievement Awards, supporting cancer charities that are actually doing real cancer research. You know, we've been talking about that since day one, that a portion of the sale of every DVD goes to support cancer charities, and it does. And so it's just a blessing to be able to help those charities and to recognize these people and to get all this group together, because there really is strength in numbers. And I really feel like that we're getting stronger and stronger as time goes on, because we're becoming more united and focused on our primary goal that we all share, and that's just to give people choices and to keep our health freedoms.
Just to educate you on the truth so that you will no longer be afraid. The tactic that I think that the other side has used to keep everybody inside of that lucrative box that they're using is fear. But when we help you to become educated and know the truth does set you free from that fear and that little box, and you climb out and you live in the real world, which has so many options. And you know, we love you and respect you enough to let you make the choice that you feel the most comfortable with, whatever that choice may be. But we want you to make a wise choice based on a thorough education of all of your options. Mm-hmm. And these lifesavers are amazing. And you know what? We couldn't do what we do without you. We just appreciate so many of you that have joined us, that on our Facebook page, you have liked our page, you share our posts, and you're helping us to wake up the world. You've even chosen to own a lot of the docuseries or the most recent book, which all the proceeds to the Truth About Cancer book. It's a bestseller now, thanks to so many of you. Every penny of the proceeds that we receive go back to these charities, and we're doing so much. We've even sent cancer patients and to places where they desired to go and they couldn't afford it. So we've helped them with your help. So thank you so much, everyone out there.
Yeah, it really is amazing. I wasn't going to talk about this, but the Truth About Cancer book has now been on the New York Times bestseller list about 6 weeks running now. So that's a real blessing. And you know, we're donating those profits to charities. And we're also, as Charlene just mentioned, we're not only supporting some natural cancer charities and charities like the Institute for Responsible Technology with Jeffrey Smith and GMO research and awareness, but also we're actually supporting some cancer patients down in Mexico getting their treatments right now as we speak. So just thank you so much for your support. And there's like a lot of things that I was going to talk about, but I can't really remember what they were.
You can't remember, but no. I thought you knew everything. That's what I tell all the time.
I can't remember. Well, let's talk about this next article. It says women outperform men on memory tests. Oh, there you have it.
You're clever.
Okay.
He's so clever.
Nice segue into it. So this article that we wanted to talk about just here at the end of the show, we got this and one really kind of fun thing. There's some recent tests that showed that women actually outperform men on memory tests, but women though are the most affected by dementia and Alzheimer's disease. And why is that, honey?
It's estradiol. When you go through your monthly cycle, when it's high, you do really well with memory, and it just fluctuates through this cycle. But when women go through premenopause to menopause to postmenopause, that goes really low. And as a result, they're forming an opinion based on their studies that there's something in that that helps with the memory. And so when it becomes depleted, the memory follows that depletion. And they're finding that dementia and Alzheimer's is worse in women, postmenopausal women, than it is with men.
Well, here's some practical suggestions on how you can improve your memory. Walnuts. Okay, I love walnuts.
Rosemary,
which is an essential oil that I use almost every day. I diffuse it. Turmeric, right? Amazing benefits of turmeric. Green leafy vegetables. So those of you that are salad eaters, keep up your greens. Extra virgin olive oil, which is what I put on my salads. Coconut oil, which we consume almost every day. I actually use it to
make homemade chocolates.
We make homemade chocolates.
Yeah, oil pulling.
Which goes into the next one. Dark chocolates are really good for your memory.
Who does not love dark chocolate?
And Brianna makes this fantastic homemade chocolate with coconut oil and with cacao. Raw cacao, dark chocolate. Celery, broccoli, two other things you can add to your salads for your memory.
Or juice.
Or juice them, yeah. Blueberries are awesome. Don't eat much cereal, but when I do eat a bowl of cereal with the almond milk, I do like to throw the blueberries in there. Beets are great for detoxing the liver, but also for memory. And then last one, honey, I'll let you say it.
Avocados. Who doesn't love a great avocado?
Avocados are awesome.
You could eat those every day. We can make a raw carob pie, and the base of that, believe it or not, is avocado.
Yeah, so those are all great ways to keep your memory going. Apparently, I need to up my avocados because I couldn't even remember what the article was about.
He's so funny.
Wink, wink. All right, last one today. This is really neat. When I was out in California a few months ago speaking at CalJam, I met Christine and Chris Hingestig, and both of them are into natural health. Chris is actually a doctor of chiropractic, and their little girl, Grace, she lost her grandmom to cancer. And so little Grace wanted to do what she could to help kids with cancer. So she noticed that she had, along with probably most kids in the United States, way too many
toys. An abundance of toys, more than she could play with.
Right. You know, kids in other countries may have one toy or two toys. You know, we've got boxes full of toys that are stored. So all of our kids have too many toys. But this is Grace's idea. She said, why don't I box up all these toys and I can give them to kids with cancer that are in the hospital?
My boxes are for kids in the Brady's Hospital. My Girl Scout troop helped me. So I was giving away toys, and my mom asked me, what do you want to do with your toys that we're giving away? It's like, I would like to put them in boxes for children in the hospital. And then we found out that we have to do new toys instead of used toys, because the used toys have germs on them. And if we give the used toys to them, they have our germs on them, so they'll get more sicker. So my mom was like, we gotta keep up this idea. So I was like, can we buy stuff from the store? And she was like, yeah, of course we can. So we did it, and we dropped them off with my Girl Scout troop. When, kids have cancer, they're, stuck in the hospital, wanting stuff to play with.
So they went and they offered that service of love to the hospital. They had to go through the hospital to get to the patients. And, of course, they heard that, well, they can't be used. They've got to be new. So she was not to be deterred. She said, well, that's okay. We're going to go out there and we're going to raise money. We're going to buy new toys for these kids. So she had a lemonade stand. And the lemonade was all organic.
Yeah.
And they used stevia as sweetener. And they were charging $1 a glass. It was all healthy. But the issue that they were dealing with there is $1 times $1 times $1 just wasn't enough. So they actually do have a Facebook page, and they're taking donations. If you wanted to help with this little 5-year-old Gracie's charity to the children with that need toys, you can join her and help her efforts.
You can look here on the screen, click or check out the link that's here on the screen, and if you wanted to support Grace's boxes to help little children with cancer, it's a great mission. Just so proud of little Grace. We're going to put her picture up here on the screen so you can see her.
We are proud
and,
of you, Grace.
Just a great little story for her, and it's really in the spirit of giving. It's Christmas time, and this just the spirit of Christmas to help other people, to help the kids, like the kids that have cancer in the hospitals that are needy. What a great idea. So Grace, we're really proud of you, and we hope that you can facilitate hundreds of boxes going out to the hospitals to help these kids.
We do, and we bet you can. Those are great gifts. And you know, as we close the show today, we just wanted to say Merry Christmas, and we just want to express that we're so thankful for the greatest gift that was ever given to humanity, which is our Savior Jesus, and that's what we celebrate. He came, he left the glory of heaven so that he could be born in a stable, so that he could grow up and live the perfect life and give that perfection to you at the cross. So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas from all of us at The Truth About Cancer. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
Mwah.
By highest heaven adored, Christ the